And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. I have three individuals in the studio with me tonight. We might be having a drop-in from another, and we're here talking about the Bahamian Project, which is this very wide-ranging photo project, whose aim is to sort of capture the memory of people that are important in the fabric of Bahamian society. And by important, we spoke to not necessarily just being really successful in their career, but in doing all kinds of different work and just being the kind of individuals that represent the Bahamian spirit, which, of course, is quite a hard thing to capture. There's an opening tomorrow night at Central Bank. That's Thursday night. It starts at 6 p.m., goes to 9 p.m. So we encourage people to go out. There's going to be how many portraits on show, you said?
There will be 52 portraits.
52 prints, but then there'll be 52 more.
52 prints plus 80 images will be shown on the flat screen,
right,
including the original 50 that we showed
right
at the
NATB
in 2013.
Exactly. So the 130 portraits in total. The first portraits that we showed, we actually only showed, well, we actually showed more than 40 in the end, but we showed large scale 40,
yeah,
and then we had more in the back printed small because we did the show for the 40th year of independence. And those were all shot by you, Duke, but since then you've opened up the project to include many other photographers. There's 21 photographers now as part of this project. And I'm going to read the names out of the photographers who are going to be participating. That is, so yourself, Duke Wells and Lisa Wells. Melissa, okay, let me see if I can pronounce everybody's names. First of all, I've got to get my reading glasses off. Melissa Alcina, Dante Carrer. Maybe you should do the names. Vado Culmer, Chris Day, Demetrius Francis, Gildon M. Gilbert Jr., who is with us in the studio tonight, Terrell Glinton, Rosemary Clarice Hanna, Paul Harding, Noe Harris-Smith, Ben Jameson, Donald Knoll, Sherrod Lightbourne, Rashad Penn, Alessandra Sarno, Andre Shepherd, Annalisa Wells, that's you, Linda Wells, and Sophia Whitehead. So those are all people that are part of this project and that will be showing work tomorrow night. So, Duke, I know when it started, we at the gallery, we only showed black and whites, and we talked a lot about doing that project, and a lot of that is to do with your work, your own work. And we were really thinking about kind of people like August Sander and Andre Karsh and people that really documented history that we felt would then raise photography up to a level that the general public might be able to understand it as an art form. I feel like somehow, I don't know why, black and white is associated more with being like quote-unquote arty. Possibly because of also digital now capturing that, you know, color images are very often just seen as kind of easy, something you would capture. But now you've broken that, and the project has a much more wide-ranging aspect and different styles. So, which I think is actually nice because now we're showing a new range. I mean, I liked the show we did as a kind of opener because it was like, okay, let's take photography seriously. Let's not think of it as something throwaway. And now you have photographers with different approaches. So, you know, for you, Gildon, how was it to come on to a project? And how do you approach it? So did you, as one of the photographers, did you get to pick your own subjects? That's one question. Or do you pick
out of a pot, or did they
get assigned to you?
They just got assigned to me.
Okay.
And what I tried to do was get to know the subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And the goal was to shoot them in their environment. So mm-hmm. what I did was all essentially environmental portraits.
Mm-hmm.
Not every portrait is going to be environmental, mm-hmm. but I decided, because I'm typically a landscape shooter, so for me it was natural to shoot, you know,
so
to
the
shoot
the surroundings were
exactly
as important
as the individual, exactly. Yeah. You know, because it tells a story.
No,
if you,
of course.
If you put
well, I mean,
the
that makes me think of
like,
again, like Renaissance paintings, right? They were never just the person; they were always like with all their attributes and all their like
exactly
you know, their quill and their hat or whatever, all the things that mm-hmm. spoke to. They were like clues that told you who this person was, why that person was important.
Yeah, the idea is for you to be able to look at the image
mm-hmm.
and without reading the bio, mm-hmm. get an idea of what this of who this person is. Not necessarily their name initially,
mm-hmm.
but who they are, what are their accomplishments.
So how challenging was that for you as a landscape artist
for me,
to
it
move
wasn't,
to portraiture?
Photography is photography is photography.
Mm-hmm.
Photography is, as we always say, is just shadow and light.
Mm-hmm.
The subject doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was relatively easy because I've been doing it long enough that I understand light. But by putting them in the environment, mm-hmm. I was also able to utilize my landscape skills.
Mm-hmm. But also, it's not easy because I know, having run a business and now at the gallery, you have to have a portrait done every once in a while, right? Because mm-hmm. Someone writes an article on you, you got to send the standard portrait.
Right.
And I've sat for many, many portraits, and I feel that very few people have actually captured me. It might look like me. Like, you might be able to say, oh, yeah, that's Amanda, but it doesn't actually...
It doesn't capture who you are as a person.
Exactly. Yeah. How do you do that in your practice? And, I mean, that really can go to all of you. But specifically, since you come from landscape, you haven't really had to deal with a subject. Because, of course, the subject brings their own, right? If they're nervous, and then it's not mm-hmm. going to look good. So how do you deal with that?
Well, I mean, for example, one of my subjects was John Cox.
Mm-hmm.
John Cox is an artist,
mm-hmm.
so he's more comfortable in his environment. So, when you see the portrait of John Cox, you know exactly what it is that John Cox does,
mm-hmm.
and you can see the comfort level because he's clearly in his environment.
Mm-hmm.
Were they
in motion? Did you capture them in motion, or did you have them sit?
We actually had...
Because I think very often that's the problem, right, is sitting. When you have to sit there, and then you're like, okay, what do I do with my arm?
Well,
and
then you start feeling
awkward, right?
It was sitting, but as I said to Duke, I believe the image that I captured of John,
yeah.
the one that's being used for the show, captures John in his essence. Because mm-hmm. if you know John and how John typically sits,
mm-hmm.
That's exactly... And mm-hmm. I said to Duke, I said, this is the image we have to use because this epitomizes... the personality mm-hmm. of John Cox,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We were able to capture that. Another one I shot was Nicholas Dean or mm-hmm. Nick Dean, who is a civil engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Nick was involved in the civil engineer for the sports center.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I put the sports center in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was a comfortable environment for him because mm-hmm. he spent a number of hours there,
mm-hmm.
Through the project. So again, it epitomizes who he is as an individual. And Arlene Nash Ferguson, everybody associates her with John Canoe.
Just go get her in a shack, right?
So we surround, I surrounded yeah. her with her John Canoe
costumes,
pieces.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Now, who were some of your subjects, Duke and Lisa?
Well, I've photographed an awful lot of them.
So who were the memorable ones?
Well,
I know you did my dad.
The memorable ones are...
Or the more recent ones,
yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah.
More
yeah.
recent
memorable
ones.
And most recent are the elderly people. I prefer to shoot the elderly people, and I prefer to shoot in the studio and in black and white. So my shots are very distinctively styled. But,
mm-hmm.
Each of the other photographers were able to bring their own style and their own mm-hmm. character into the picture. And Gildan is kind of swings both ways. He's the only photographer, really, who's shooting black and white and color.
Yeah.
He's shooting, quite a variety. Everyone else is either shooting in color or shooting in black and white. So mm-hmm. it's interesting. But the portraits are supposed to be iconic. We talk a lot as photographers. We've had meetings at my studio every month for the last several months. And as we review the images and discuss them, the goal is everybody that we photograph is not an icon, but the portraits themselves should be iconic. They should certainly be telling a little bit about the character of the
mm-hmm,
people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what about you, Lisa?
Well, I photographed... I'm more of an environmental photographer. Mm-hmm. I always call myself a snapshooter because really what I like, I'm just a very casual person. I don't like a lot of setup and, mm-hmm. and what. So I just sort of go out there and get to know. I mean, I did know some of the subjects that I was shooting, in fact. But sort of sum them up and put them in their environment and,
mm-hmm.
Make them comfortable and just get a good shot. And mm-hmm. and that's basically my approach to it.
Well, so I think that's quite interesting because when we first put the show on, I'm not sure there had been photography shows at the National Art Gallery. There'd been the show with the Sanford Sawyer, the Over the Hill studios that Krista Thompson curated. And I think, we have a collection of course, Coonley, of like historical works, but there hadn't been for a while a photography show. And again, we spoke to the kind of historicizing of it and kind of creating something that was, at one glance, very obviously artistic in the sense that it was contrived. But I think this is a really interesting next step because then any visitor is going to get this vision into all the different aspects of photography, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how different photographers will use the medium. Do you get in any kind of, I mean, do you, judge each other's work at all? Or do you say, oh, like, that one, yeah. I like this one. No, I don't. I mean, is it a group effort?
Yeah, we definitely critique each other's work. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's all about. As a photographer, you can't own the image. And what I mean by that is not everybody is going to agree with the style of photography that you have or the way you light a subject. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you have to be open to criticism. Mm-hmm. You have to drop your ego, mm-hmm. especially for a project like this, because mm-hmm. this is essentially a national project. Mm-hmm. So it's not about you as an individual photographer. Mm-hmm. It's about long-term creating that national portrait gallery, mm-hmm. which means that the images have to be at a certain standard mm-hmm. in order to be viewed as iconic mm-hmm. 50 years from now. Mm-hmm.
We in the months leading up to the exhibition, we had the meetings, as I mentioned, at my studio on the first Friday of each month. And we were pleased to have one of our board members, Holly Bino, who's mm-hmm. the curator of the NAGB, would attend and help critique the photos. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, Holly's a pretty good critiquer.
Well, that's her job.
she gave some real good feedback. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you'd look at the photographer and they would be kind of sad because she was, being brutally honest. But
always constructive, though. It's always very, very constructive. Very constructive. Positive,
and in some cases, it would lead to us asking for the photographer to reshoot. We did have a few reshoots mm-hmm. because the pictures, as Gildan said, didn't really come up to the standard that we had mm-hmm. wanted.
But I think that's fair enough. And it's also, it's very, very difficult to do because mm-hmm. there's lots of people that do good work.
Yeah.
But, when you're working at a national level, you have to be concerned with things that are great and actually speak also to history. What is going to be? So, again, we'll do shows with young artists because we want to support mm-hmm. people at a certain trajectory in their career. But they'll normally be in the project room or they'll be in an area that, but when you're doing like a retrospective, for example, a lot of people are like, oh, I want to show at the National Gallery. And you're like, well, yeah, but, you need 5 years more or 10 maybe mm-hmm. to really get your practice. Yep. And I think that is something that we need to learn as a society is that, that critical feedback is so important. And then, of course, what's going to actually join the collection. I mean, there's a show at the NAGB, but then there's actually joining the collection. That's correct. Something to join the collection that has to be something that's going to be historically important mm-hmm. in 50 to 100 years, you know, and maybe not everything will be. And so mm-hmm. it's an interesting way to look at the work. But I think, again, that's what makes Holly such a great curator because, a curator has to be quite brutally when you're putting a show together, especially a retrospective, you have to pull out mm-hmm. and even the best artists. I mean, we have the Thierry Lamar show on right now, and God bless Thierry. I love him. He's an amazing artist. But even he had his not great days. Yeah. Some of the work wasn't as good. It wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't bad. But it wasn't as good as the next one. So you have to say, no, that one can't go in the show. I'm sorry.
No, and I think
something that, again, people have to understand.
But I think critiquing... I mean, the way I look at it, I've been doing photography for 36 years, mm-hmm. but I still learn every mm-hmm. single day.
Of course.
So critiquing allows me to learn. So it just allows me to focus in mm-hmm. and see the world from somebody else's mm-hmm. perspective. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have to agree with the critique.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely not. But I think it's really important to have that exchange.
It's a part of the growth process.
And it is part of sort of, again, helping somebody to grow, to be Indeed. There. And I think normally if you are taking the time, the thing that I find quite difficult sometimes when someone asks us our opinion, whether it's me or whether it's Holly or it's someone else, and you give back a critique mm-hmm. and it's not always, mean, but it's just like, well, I think this isn't at its best and you could do that.
Right.
And then they actually reject that or they get very upset and you're like, okay, I just spent my time doing this mm-hmm. and I've done it with artists. I've written long things and I've gone through their body of work and I've spoken to the things that and then you get this very like, well, thanks, but thanks, but no thanks kind of thing. And you're like, okay, well, then
yeah, I think as any artist, you have to drop the ego. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Or you just have to say, okay, well, I'll consider that. Mm-hmm. I might not agree right now, Indeed. But I'll take it under consideration.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. I welcome critique of all of my work. I have no issue with it.
And I think most of the photographers that we had, all of the photographers in the meeting, none of them took any offense by it. Mm-hmm. In fact, we had a few of them came to us afterwards mm-hmm. and said, thank you for that, because mm-hmm. that was actually very beneficial, helpful. Exactly. Very helpful. Well, and I think everyone took it in the positive spirit that it was mm-hmm. meant to be.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's really nice to hear that a group of artists are, again, mm-hmm. meeting regularly and giving each other feedback. So I think also it's very difficult as an artist here. Very often you feel sort of isolated. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really great initiative, not just for the final outcome, which will be this body of work. But mm-hmm. I think actually this practice of meeting very often as artists to exchange ideas and critique each other's work is extremely valuable. Yes. Anyway, we're going to go to a short break. And when we'll come back, we'll speak a little bit more about the Bahamian Project. And now give me the title of the show again, Duke.
Bright Lights and Raw Gems.
Bright Lights and Raw Gems, which is going to be opening. I love that title. That's great. It's going to be opening at the Central Bank tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and it will run till 9 p.m. And then it will be up for some time, I imagine.
For the entire month.
For
the
entire.
Okay, so, so if you miss the opening, you can go back to look at the... sometimes I always say the openings for networking and socializing, and then go back another time to actually look at the art.
That's right, yes.
But go out to support the artists, because it means so much to the artists when they see their audience coming. It really makes such a difference. So I really encourage people to go out tomorrow night to see the Bahamian Project at the Central Bank. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.